things are more crushing than personal disappointment. When our hopes and dreams are dashed, it throws us into a quandary, wondering why in the world we've been knocked back. It feels so unfair. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Hope Again. In this portion of our study, we're reminded that our suffering never goes unnoticed by God. And that's important. Left to our own inclinations, we can easily slip into a victim mentality. We'll begin by reading from 1 Peter 3 together. Chuck titled his message, Hope Beyond Bitterness.
There is something within each one of us that longs for life to be fair, isn't there? For the good guys to win, to receive their rewards, and at the same time for the bad guys to be soundly defeated. We all want that. We love it when the stories work out like that, and, well, everybody lives happily ever after. However, we don't live in a dream world where magic and superpowers overwhelm the forces of evil and mete out perfect justice, do we? Real life doesn't always turn out the way it should, least of all the way we want it to. Our response to unfairness, as in all other issues, will be based on the particular vantage point from which we look at life, our own personal perspective. Basically, we have two viewpoints to choose from, the human viewpoint and, you guessed it, the divine viewpoint. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to read for you verses 13 through 17 and see what we can learn about the divine viewpoint from Peter's words. He wrote them to the persecuted first century Christians. We'll see where Peter encouraged these persecuted Christians to choose the divine perspective, even in the midst of their persecution. So, 1 Peter 3, I'll begin reading with verse 13. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the Bible with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now, the message from Chuck titled, Hope Beyond Bitterness.
Life is difficult. I was reminded of those three words when I came across a 20th century testimony by Malcolm Muggeridge. On page 72 of that book, he makes this statement. And I want to read it slowly because it is what my talk is all about. And I quote Malcolm Muggeridge, "Contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experiences that at the time seemed especially desolate, especially desolating and painful, with particular satisfaction. Indeed, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I have learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my experience, has been through affliction and not through happiness." In other words, if it ever were to be possible to eliminate affliction from our earthly existence by means of some drug or other medical mumbo jumbo, the result would not be to make life delectable,
but to make it too banal and trivial to be endurable. This, of course, is what the cross signifies, and it is the cross more than anything else that has called me inexorably to Christ. I want to repeat a statement that he makes in that particular paragraph. Everything I have learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my existence, has been through affliction and not through happiness, whether pursued or attained. Now, it is one thing to hear those words from a man like Malcolm Muggeridge, or to read those words in a great book that might move you to tears even. And it's another thing to embrace them in a personal way. Because I know that there isn't a person hearing my voice right now who doesn't have a reason to become bitter because of treatment you have received from someone, or because of an experience that you were not able to bring justice out of, or just because of life itself. You find yourself in an affliction that will not make itself right, and life seems to you to be terribly unfair. Seems to me that there are two perspectives on that particular inevitable reality that we can choose. One is the strictly human perspective. Since life isn't fair, I'm going to get my share. I am going to spend my energy getting back, or setting it straight, or making it right. I am not going to take it any longer. That's the human perspective. And our world is full of literature and counselors who will help you carry that out. And if that is your only perspective, you may get even, but you won't get peace. You won't get satisfaction. You may find a way to channel your anger, but you will not find a way to glorify God, if that is your only perspective. Now, there is another perspective, and it is the divine perspective, which is addressed in the third chapter of 1 Peter, which we are working our way through these days. And I find the perspective very well stated in the single 12th verse of this third chapter. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers, to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, you can count on that. Not only is it written by Peter himself, he quotes it from one of the Psalms, Psalm number 34. Look at the verse. Remember the principle. The principle is God misses nothing. His eyes are upon your life as a righteous child of his. His ears attend to your prayer. And don't ever think that he has missed the evil. He not only sees, he never forgets. He may be long-suffering, but he doesn't compromise his justice. His eye is on the righteous, and his face is against the evil. Now, you might think, why in the world has he let it go on so long? I like the way one person put it, because God doesn't close his books at the end of every month. Sometime it takes a lifetime, and sometime it will even occur beyond your death. But in the end, God will be just. In the end, it will all work together for good. If we don't believe that, and if we don't focus on that, we become the loser. And we spend our years in cynicism and bitterness, and become, in our aging years, angry old men and women. Now, the verses that are following this 12th verse, actually just a few of them, verses 13 through 17, I find some helpful principles and guidelines to follow. And please understand, this is not a cure-all for every area of life. Certainly, this does not have reference to national defense. This is speaking of personal matters. This is not ignoring your right as a citizen to be protected by the provision of our government and by the police force, etc. I'm not referring to that realm. I'm talking about the personal realms of life where you do not need some kind of protection or some kind of defense, but you simply cannot bring things to terms in relationships or in life in general. It is in those areas where no one can be your defense, no one can be your help, only the Lord, which is why he mentions the prayer, his attending to our prayers. Now, let me give you the general statement in verse 13, which really is stated for us. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? This is a general principle, and it generally is true. And what is it? Those who live honest lives will usually not suffer harm. I use the word usually for the sake of realism. Those who live clean, honest, pure lives will suffer less harm. Let's put it that way. You pay your debts, you live financially responsible, chances are good you will not get into financial trouble. You obey the rules of good health, you get sufficient exercise, watch your diet, sufficient sleep, relaxation, chances are good you will live a healthier life than those who break those rules. Here's another. You drive within the speed limit, you obey the rules of safety, you will usually not get a ticket. Usually. You help others in need, you give yourself to those, you will find when you have needs, there will be someone there to give to you. It's that kind of principle. Again, it's a general principle. However, life just ain't fair. And there are times when that general principle is changed. And you, though righteous, zealous for good, pure, believing in prayer, and walking with God, even though all of those things are true, you can still find that life turns on you. There are occasional inequities, and that is what verses 14 through 17 are all about. But these are the rare occasions. See the words, but even if you should, verse 14. Let me give you a little brief Greek lesson, okay? Every time the word if appears in the New Testament, it can be one of four things. It can mean one of four things. We call these first-class conditions, second-class conditions, third-class conditions, and fourth-class conditions. Let me explain. A first-class if in the Greek text assumes the statement to be true. Satan said to the Lord Jesus on a couple of occasions, if you are the Son of God, Matthew 4, verses 3 and 6. If you are the Son of God, that's first class. It's assumed as true. Even Satan knows he's the Son of God. We could use the word since to describe the same thing. That is not what is used here. It's very common use. There's a second class condition, if, and it is assumed as not true. Paul writes in Galatians 1:10, if I were still trying to please men, I could not be a bondservant of Christ. That's a second class condition. I'm not still striving to please men. That is a rare occasion, but it does occur. I can't say too rare, but it is not as common as the first. The third class is extremely common. It's like our use of the word if. Maybe it's true and maybe it's not. For example, verse 13 has a third class condition. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Very common. You have a choice. Verse 14 has a rare fourth-class condition, which means it's unlikely. Or even some have said it means, I wish it were not true, but it is on occasion. Verse 14, but even if, rare though it may be, unlikely though it may be, even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you see, it's the exception rather than the rule, then certain things are going to occur. And here's where I'd like to have you take out a pencil, find a piece of paper to write some thoughts down, and I want to give you, from God's word, five responses to certain situations in life that aren't fair, and how you can handle them the next time they occur. And I'm asking you to write them down because this is not my advice, this is God's advice. If I were to give you advice, I would tell you to kick him in the teeth. I would tell you to get even, because that is my nature. But that's not good advice. That's human counsel. So I want to know what God has to say about how to respond when you have done what is right, but wrong is being done to you in return. Okay, five pieces of advice. And they are in five different areas. So let's put for the first one. As far as the injustice itself is concerned, that's the beginning of verse 14. As far as the injustice itself is concerned, be happy. Consider yourself blessed by God. Go ahead, even though you don't want to write it down, write it down. Because that is the very first statement Peter writes. Even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. It is the word for blessed over and over, for being happy. You are uniquely blessed by God. Sounds surprising, doesn't it? If you like referring to other verses, write down James 1, verse 2. And it's a paraphrase in Phillips, which reads, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. A question comes, how can I feel blessed by God if I'm getting unfair treatment? That's a good question. First of all, because you have been called to go through this, it's a reminder that God's hand is still on your life. You say, I'm not sure I've been called to do this. Look at verse 21 of chapter 2. You have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. Called to what purpose? You've got to look back at verse 20, chapter 2. What credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? It's no big thing if you pull over after running a red light and patiently sign the ticket the cop writes you. That's no great shakes. You don't have a lot to be proud of. You just patiently write it because you've got it coming. It's when he pulls you over and reprimands you and begins to write you a ticket and you don't deserve it and you take that patiently. You say, that's not only a blessing, that is a miracle. And you're right. You're right. Everybody in this world can take it patiently when you get rewarded for doing what is right. And even many people can take it patiently when you get punished for doing wrong. But the believer in Christ is the only one equipped to handle it patiently when you suffer wrong, even though you've done right. That is what makes you stand out. That's your uniqueness. And yes, there are occasions in life when you will be called for that very purpose. You will be singled out, just like the prophets. Verse 9, chapter 3 is saying the same thing. Not returning evil for evil, insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. How else can I be happy? Well, I think because someday I'll be rewarded for those events. There is a reward for enduring trials that were not deserved. You just sit for a moment and listen as I read from Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. That's Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad. Your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. How can I focus with pleasure on the moment I can remember this event will be rewarded? Okay? That's the first. Consider yourself uniquely blessed of God. Second, as far as the persecutor himself is concerned, look at the second response. Even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. Second response, do not panic, do not worry. Do not panic, do not worry. I find both of those things occurring when I operate in the flesh, having done what is right and having suffered for it.
On our last few programs, Chuck Swindoll has been talking about what to do when life is unfair, and he titled his message, Hope Beyond Bitterness. This is Insight for Living. Keep listening because we've saved the final minutes of today's program to hear some closing comments from Chuck. But first, if you'd like to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. And then, if you're dealing with disappointment, you're not alone. God knows what you're going through, even when life seems unfair. We know this is true because we often hear from people who tell us their stories. I'm thinking of this comment we received from a listener in Wisconsin that said, "As a young teenager in Washington State, I often tuned into Christian radio from my basement bedroom. Insight for Living came on just about the time I was getting ready for bed each night." And then he added this, "Pastor Chuck's teaching was used to help a hurting teenager stay close to the Lord when my family was falling apart. Since that time, I've been blessed to be able to tune in from every place I've ever lived. Praise the Lord for Insight for Living." Well, God's Word is powerful, and when you partner with Insight for Living, you're playing a significant role in touching lives like this one. In fact, your donation, no matter the size, allows us to beam Chuck's teaching into the far reaches of the world. We're often surprised by the demand for clear Bible teaching coming from all points on the globe. Here's Chuck.
Thank you, Bill. I was astounded to see an encouraging report from one of our staff members here at Insight for Living Ministries. I learned, for instance, that last year our website had over 13 million page views, and those visitors represented 194 countries. That's just incredible. Here's another. Our radio program, Insight for Living, was aired 12,737 times each week. And here's one more. Did you know that Insight for Living Ministries ministers in 9 different languages under the direction of 12 seminary-trained field pastors? All of these efforts fall beneath the banner of Vision 195, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ in all 195 countries of the world. Well, those are just a few snapshots from our photo album we put together last year. But we're coming up on a deadline. On June the 30th, Insight for Living will conclude another ministry year. And as such, I'm compelled to invite you to join us in another all-out effort to provide the daily program and all its ministries well into the future. Through every channel, Insight for Living serves as a safe harbor for people to escape their struggles and receive God's hope. Isn't that a great thought? And we do that by opening the Bible and telling the truth. Remember what Peter told his struggling friends? He wrote, "Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you in Christ Jesus." Here's my appeal to you. Would you respond to our need today? The last 12 months have surprised us with a few rough patches along the way, financially speaking. So please, take down our contact information and get in touch with us right away, okay? Your generous donation today will demonstrate that you understand the significance of the hope we have in Christ and the deep need to keep that message front and center to the world around us. Thanks so much. Bill?
And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll. If you have access to the Insight for Living website, just follow the simple instructions online for making a donation at insight.org. Or if you'd prefer to speak to someone on the phone, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Again, that's 800-772-8888. Or give online at insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us next time when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe what to do when life isn't fair on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Hope, Bitterness, When Life Just Ain't Fair, was copyrighted in 1988, 1990, 1996, 2006, and 2011, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2011 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.